A florist's world is filled with big-budget, Instagram-worthy moments, leaving so many florists feeling inadequate or discouraged because this isn't the type of work that they're attracting. But the bigger issue I see florists struggle with is being overwhelmed and exhausted, and frankly, counting down the days till the end of wedding season. If you are struggling keeping up with the day-to-day details of your business, like proposals, ordering product, client meetings, and then getting this week's wedding done, all while trying to balance kids, a day job, self-care, and whatever else gets thrown your way, I'm Jenny Beck, and I am going to help you feel so much lighter in your business. I believe that today you can start to change your business and your life, and I'm here to help. Whether this is your side hustle, your mom hustle, or your everyday hustle, this podcast is the place for all the juicy details of creating a business you adore. Flower friend, my name is Jen, and I'm so glad you're here. Hello, flower friend. This is Jen, and you are listening to the Floral Hustle Podcast. On this week's episode, I want to talk about recipe and ordering simplification. And I want to teach you two of my fundamental systems that will help you simplify your ordering and will also help you simplify pricing. And these are two of the things that I teach you in my new Floral Foundations, Florist Foundations course. This course teaches you from like everything from starting your business to making sure that you can deliver and execute an event. And it is the most comprehensive course, I think, on the market. And so if you haven't checked it out yet, this is content that is in that course, but you can check it out at thefloralhustle.com/foundation. So my first process is simplifying how I even formulate the flowers that I'm going to use. So actually, we're going to talk about three systems because I think part of one comes into this first one. When I am figuring out the product that I use, I am not just like going, okay, here is the million different flower options, and what do I want to use? I think of it as layers. And these layers apply to when you're making bridal bouquets, when you're making centerpieces, and when you are making potentially like arches or things like that. So the first thing, the first layer to me, and I am someone who loves big, lush bouquets, denser bouquets that have a little bit of movement in them, have a little bit of movement like using greens, using line flowers, also have a good amount of texture. And so I start out with my base flower, which I call my, like it's my big blooms or my focal blooms. So in my big blooms or focal blooms, I could be using something that probably is going to fill about 4-ish inches. And with that 4 inches of space, that could be a rose, that could be a dahlia, that could be a pincushion protea, that could be a peony. Anything that is about that space constitutes that type of bloom choice. So that's my first, because whenever I create an arrangement or I'm creating a bouquet, I'm using that as like my fundamental kind of shape starting of my bouquet. So the next thing is line flowers. You don't always have to use a line flower, but it does help for one, like light blue delphinium. There's just not a lot of light blue flowers out there. So it gets thrown into that mix because of being that color and not having a lot of those color choices. But you can also have stock, larkspur. You can have a stilbe. You could have snapdragons, sweet peas. Like those are line flowers that help create movement, but also just add a little bit of dimension and different texture in your bouquet. So that's your second foundational type of bloom. You don't always need to have that bloom in there, the line flower, but I think it does add a lot of visual interest to your pieces. Then, third bloom choice is what I call secondary or transition blooms. So secondary bloom choices could be spray roses. Anything that you will have interspersed with your big blooms and your line flowers in the meat of your bouquet. That also could be scabiosa. It could be straw flower. It could be, I mean, there's a million different options, but they're going to be a different size, probably anywhere from half to three quarters of the size of your big or focal bloom. Then from there, you could have a filler flower. So filler flowers to me, also, I love using fillers because I think it adds texture. I think it adds another dynamic from a bloom size. So Queen Anne's lace could be also, you know, I use wax flower a lot. Calcinia, when calcinia is on point, my favorite. I love, especially like near fall, there's a little calcinia flush. Baronia heather. I mean, there's just so many great filler flowers. I love like Roman chamomile or feverfew. That is a great filler, especially because citrus bouquets are right now are really hot, like citrus inspired and citrus colored. So that adds a little bit of different texture, a little bit of shape. So right now we have focal blooms or big blooms. We have secondary transition. We have line flowers and we have filler. Then from there, I have greenery. I like to use greenery around the cuff and then usually just a little bit of spurts inside the bouquet. And those could be Italian ruscus, Israeli ruscus, your eucalyptus. Thank God. Like to me, eucalyptus is phased out a little bit. Thank God. Things like rich greens or the sagey greens. And that just adds a little bit more texture and also sometimes helps with cost because sometimes greenery is less. Obviously, Italian ruscus, at least around here, not so much. But my new favorite green is called pistachia, and that is just really beautiful. And I order that off of Holix, which is a Dutch online auction. Then from there, we have our dancing flowers. So I like to have blooms a little bit outside of the core that create a little bit of movement. And normally those are potentially ranunculus, butterfly ranunculus, scabiosa, could be lisianthus, depending on, especially if it's locally grown. Locally grown lisy is usually beautiful and can have that nice movement. So those are my six foundational type blooms. But when it comes to centerpieces and to arch pieces or, you know, something like that, some type of installation piece, I add a coverage bloom, which to me is normally hydrangeas, especially in the cultural weddings that I do. Hydrangeas are used a lot. And so white hydrangeas from South America, blue hydrangeas, purple is a new color that's coming out of South America. I normally also order those on some type of auction site because they just, you buy a box and you get them down to under $2 a piece usually, all the way down to like $1.65, which for a 5-inch bloom to me is a pretty good value. So those just help cover mechanics. They also create a level of lushness because you're layering your flowers over and that layer is really just creating this illusion of more flowers when you have your kind of base covered in a flower, even though it's a bigger, thicker, denser flower. So that is my one system of figuring out like what I use. Then my next system is I often price out things per square foot. I can price out installations. I can price out even centerpieces in a square foot type situation. So let's just say we are having a cake install and this cake install has flowers kind of swooping down and around a cake. I actually just went through this exercise with my mastermind girls because our focus this month is all about ordering recipes, pricing, and pricing for profit. And we're going through and we're figuring this, what we need to order for this cake installation for the upcoming Installation Rockstar workshop that is in Minneapolis on May 14th. And it's going to be like this kind of swoop of flowers that's going around a low-top cocktail table, and then it's landing on the floor. So first thing I do is I always figure out like my mechanics. And with that, because it's going to be attaching to the wall, I thought, okay, I can put a cage, and this is a eco venue, so I can't use flower foam there. So it's going to have a cage with fiber floral, which is my go-to mechanic if I need something that has like a foam-like ability, but is sustainable. Then with chicken wire coming down, and then it's going to spill into a floor piece that has the fiber floral in it. And so I'm going through and I'm figuring out in 1 square foot, I want the piece to be 12 inches wide. In 1 square foot, I want to put probably like 9 carnations for coverage. I want to put, let's just say, like 7 roses. I want to put some base greenery. I want to put some purple wax flower. So I'm like building my recipe of items based on that 1 square foot. So for me to fill that 1 square foot of coverage of this installation, then I go to my next step and figure out how many square feet are in the installation. So if from the table height down is, let's just say, 36 inches, and then I want to go onto the floor. So right there, just from the table height of the cake down, I have, if I want to come a foot out, I have 4 square feet of installation. Then I need to go back and attach the wall. So I'm probably going to have another 4 feet plus a foot on the actual wall. Then, because there's going to be a little bit of a curve, I want to give a little bit of buffer. So I probably, with this installation, need 12, at least 12 square feet. So I take my base recipe, my flowers, and I think that came out to, when we figured out the math in the mastermind, it was $56 in wholesale cost of the product. Then I times that by my markup. So if you were at a 3 to 4 times markup, you times it by your markup. Then you add your labor percentage. And then from there, you add your costs, basically whatever your markup on your hard goods is. So if you're using a couple cages, if you're using chicken wire, I would figure out like an average cost per square foot. So I just added $20 per square foot for mechanics. And it came out to that each square foot of this installation cost about $245 with markup and your design fee. And then I had to take that times my total square foot, which I think I landed on 14. So with that, that installation starting out with $56 of product, I just take that and times and plan for that product for however many square feet that I need. So that becomes my recipe. So I priced it and I planned a recipe in a very easy 12 by 12 foot square. If this is something that has, I call them floral moments, then I can either build an average of those, like this one, I'm going to put some hanging amaranthus in, and I want to use some Phalaenopsis orchids, but I only want to use like 5 Phalaenopsis orchids. So I just put in a budget towards Phalaenopsis orchids and said, I'm going to put 5, but I'm going to build in because I can buy them on a plant. I usually buy my orchids on plants, $17.50 for 2 stems. And so I built that into my recipe and took, okay, if I'm using 5, I probably even could just plan for 6 because I need 14 square feet. So I'm estimating like from the ordering on the more moment type items, but I'm becoming faster at my estimating. And then if I need to put a little further thought into it when I'm placing my final order, I can polish my order from there. But I didn't spend a ton of time like questioning myself, questioning if I'm doing this right. I spent time getting my estimate out faster, which honestly, I think is more impactful. So those are my 2 processes, but here's what I hear a lot from people that I coach or people in Facebook groups. I keep overspending. And you need to build fun into your business. So this is my third kind of thing or process that I incorporate in my business. I plan for buying fun flowers. I do not pre-order 100% of my order, because then like you're ripping the fun out of going into the cooler and finding your unicorn flowers, as I call them. So I am building it so that when I go in, I have an allotted budget that I get to spend on fun. I have an allotted budget that I can spend on unicorn flowers, on whatever. But here's how I do it. When I'm going through the ordering process, with my 6 or 7 floral layers, depending on the piece that you're making, I might have some staples that I'm like, hey, I need light blue delphinia, or I need butterfly ranunculus, or I need something specific. But then I go through and I'll pick one of the types of flowers. So my secondary blooms, or my, like, if I have some really nice roses that I'm ordering from my rose farm direct in Ecuador, that I maybe want some peonies. So I'm going to plan for less of those big blooms, but plan that I'm going to source or find maybe some locally grown dahlias, or I'm going to find some locally grown peonies or something that is in that category. So I take a category and figure out, there's where my fun is. And if for some reason that fun doesn't work out, you probably always got the staples in the cooler to fill the gap anyway. But at least then you're going into it knowing that you get to have some fun buying flowers that inspire you. Because if you're not doing that, I think my designs are so much more inspiring when I get to have a little bit fun buying, finding, a little bit of hunting. I use Holics and will go and hunt in color palettes for that wedding and see if I can find something. And that's how I found pistachio, the green that I mentioned earlier. That's not fun, but I went in and searched greens, and just, I sometimes see something and I'm like, I have no idea what that is. And I love experimenting. So I'm going to order it. And with ordering it, I'm testing it, but I'm only ordering like 50 stems. So it's not like, even if I don't like it, it's not the end of the world. But I'm experimenting, I'm learning, I'm growing. And that's what's important. So this is the type of content, and I keep talking about the course like in the last few weeks, because I just know how impactful. I see the mastermind girls, their like lights go off when I go through these type of things. And I know how impactful they are to my business. I run I think my business is like $325,000 with part-time childcare, with, I'm doing two different businesses, the coaching business and that. And I did that with having foundational systems. And so that's why I call it Florist Foundations, because those foundational systems and practices help me do more. They help me be more productive. They help me not be like just running around my head cut off trying to figure out what to do. I have a process for interacting with clients. I have a process for planning all my estimates. I have a process for ordering. All of those things are things you can just have that foundational practice integrating your business, and it helps you scale. And I mean, my business is scaled. I'm running this out of my garage-based studio, and that can be you too. There is so much opportunity out there, and being a business owner is something that can be so fulfilling and doesn't need to be like these golden handcuffs that you're just like, oh, I just can't anymore. So I've coached those business owners too. They're just like, I'm so stressed out, because they don't have processes. They're manually doing all these things all the time and then wondering why they're not making any money. So I hope these three little tidbits help you this coming wedding season. And thank you so much for listening, Flower Friend, and you have an amazing flower-filled week. Friend, thank you so much for hanging out with me today. If you found value or today's episode was helpful, please head to your podcast player of choice and hit that subscribe button so that you can be notified every week of new episodes. And while you're there, please go and leave a review. Reviews are so important for getting this message out to all of our other flower friends. Also, if you are wanting additional support, head on over to Facebook and join the Floral Hustle Facebook group, which is a place for like-minded floralpreneurs wanting a more aligned and more profitable floral business. Flower friend, have a fun-filled flower week.